right, this time we'll have a special member, Steve Huseby.
That he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the sea that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Gave it leaves and then gave it sunshine and rain and sheltered it with love. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make that old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created with great love for man. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected and mourned. Oh, still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make that old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created with great love for man. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make that old rugged cross. To make that old rugged cross.
You know, we look at this cross right here. It's made out of wood. Who made that wood? Who made that wood? Amen. God made that wood. Did God make that wood? And that wood that God made, that tree that God made, is where Jesus died for you and I, that we might be free. It looked like, no, that's a cross. No, it doesn't. That would look like an X if I went like that. That's a cross. That's where Jesus died for our sins, that we can be free and go to heaven one day. And that's what we're going to preach on this morning. We're going to preach about heaven. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 7, I believe it is. Let me look, make sure that is. I know it's in 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter number 10, I'm sorry, chapter number 10. And I want you to stand in honor of the Word of God as I read the Bible text. And I'm going to start in verse 1 of 1 Kings in chapter number 10. In your Old Testament, you go to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, all in a row there, talking about the history of Israel. But in 1 Kings in chapter number 10, beginning in verse 1. Everybody found it? 1 Kings chapter number 10, verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." Verse 4. "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he came up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard.'" Father, we come to you this morning. And Father, I ask you to bless this message. I pray this message on heaven, Lord, would be a blessing to every single person here in this room, all the little children, all the adults, and even to Mary and her daughter. I pray this morning this message would be a blessing to them. Lord, heaven becomes sweeter when one of our loved ones has gone on. And we know, Lord, this morning that our brother Tom is in glory with you. And Lord, as we go through this passage this morning and we talk a little bit about heaven, we ask you to open our eyes that we might see. We know that we'll not be able to be like the Queen of Sheba and go to Solomon and see all the things that has been told of him. We'll not be able to experience that until we get on the other side. But right now, Lord, we trust by faith everything the Bible says. And what it's going to say to us this morning, by faith, we trust it is true. But we ask you, Lord, to bless one day when we go to heaven to be with you. We'll know that the half, even in the book of Revelation, was never told of all thy majesty and grandeur until we see it face to face. And we ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Revelation in chapter 22. And as you turn to Revelation, the last book of the Bible in chapter 22, I want to just say a few words, first of all, about our text this morning. The Queen of Sheba lived quite a ways from Israel, and the fame of Solomon had spread all around the known world at that time. And Solomon was a mighty, mighty king, the wisest of all kings, and the temple of Solomon and all Solomon's wealth and prosperity, his word had gravitated to all peoples on the planet. And Queen of Sheba, naturally, like everyone else, had heard about all that Solomon possessed, all of his great wisdom, all of his pomp and circumstance, all that he possessed. And she felt one day in her heart that I need to go and actually see what is there in the palace and the realm of Solomon. And when she got there, and she had many questions to ask Solomon, like you and I may have to ask God when we get to heaven, she asked Solomon all these things that she had stored up in her heart. And Solomon answered every question that she had. Far beyond that, he probably even answered some questions that she did not have. But when she saw with her very eyes all that Solomon possessed, all of the grandeur of his realm, she made that glorious statement down there in chapter number 10 of 1 Kings in verse number 7. Behold, the half was not told me. And you know, we're here this morning as Christian people, as believers in Christ. There may be some of you this morning that have yet to accept Christ as your Savior, yet to trust Christ as your Savior, put your confidence and your faith in Him, that He is the only one that can wash away your sins and the only one that can take you to heaven one day. And if that's you today, I pray that you'll step out during the invitation and trust Christ as your Savior. And then one day when you pass on, you'll go to heaven immediately to be with the Lord. And you will be able to say like the Queen of Sheba, the half was not told to me. And you know, we're here this morning and we have in the Bible many, many references to heaven. Not as many as we'd like. I'd like to know more about heaven. But the Lord has not seen fit to record everything of heaven any more than Solomon's grandeur was not able to be transported all around the world at that time. They didn't have the news media that we have. Everything was basically the word of mouth. And so when the Queen of Sheba got to Solomon, she declared, the half has not been told me. And I believe this morning that every one of us that can name the name of Christ, that knows Christ as our Savior, when we die, and we will all die unless Christ comes back first in the rapture, when we die and pass over to the other side, I believe that we will be able to declare to the Lord Jesus Christ, the half was never told to me. I think heaven holds some beauties that we do not even comprehend. I believe heaven holds some excitements and some purpose for us that we have absolutely no idea what God has prepared for them that love Him. Even Paul declared that in the New Testament, that eye hath not heard, nor eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, or entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. You see, heaven is so magnificent, so wonderful, that words that we can generate as humans can never describe what it is like. Even the words of the Bible, given under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, cannot even scratch the surface of what God has prepared for us. That's why by faith, you and I, we look to what God has for us. We look to what the Lord has set aside for us. We look to the Lord and what He is building for us. For the Bible says in the book of John that He's building mansions for us. And I know many liberals today, you know, they'll say, well, that word mansion really means rooms. Well, no, I don't look at it that way. It doesn't say rooms, it says mansions. I believe that God is preparing for us mansions that we'll dwell in heaven, and then down here on earth during the millennium, that far surpass anything that any human builder can ever build in America or the world. There's a lot of great castles in the world. You go to Germany and many of the German Alps and many of the Swiss Alps and the other areas of that part of the world, they have magnificent rivers and palaces, castles, if you will. And some of those, I mean, they are beyond our wildest dreams, that man could build things like that. You look at St. Petersburg in Russia, and the palace there is beyond anything that we've ever built in America. Tremendous gold and silver and precious stones and fountains, statues, far surpass anything America has to offer. And yet, none of that ever will compare with what God has built. Never compare with what God has designed for us. Now, we don't need to relish necessarily on the physical. But we need to delve into some of the spiritual aspects of heaven and what God has prepared for us in the sense that death is a departure. You know, death for the believer is not something we ought to fear. I mean, let's face it, none of us want to depart and go on, but if we look at the word departure or death in a different light, it begins to take on a different understanding for us. As we declared in Sunday school and as we teach our Sunday school class for adults at 10 o'clock or 9:45 here in the church, we spend a lot of time discussing words and defining from our dictionary what words mean. Because really, words just convey thoughts. Now you think about it. You children are going to learn to write one day. How many of you have learned to write? There's a few of you. Learn to write, young people, amen? Got his pad up there and his pencil, learn to write? Good, that's good. Can you write? Let me see what you're writing. The pastor is very handsome, very intelligent, and the church ought to pay him more. That's very good. Here you go. You're a very, very wise woman. No, I tell you something. Words convey thoughts. You have a thought. You invent a word that expresses that thought. You put it in a dictionary so others can look at that word that expresses that thought that maybe they have themselves. And your Bible is that. Your Bible is full of words that express the thoughts and ideas and plans of God and others, but basically it's the Word of God. We call it the Bible, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. And it conveys thoughts to us, but even the conveyance of the thoughts that God gave to man never can express totally what God has given to us in a place called heaven. And as I said a moment ago, death is a departure. Now, I think we need to exemplify this a little bit. Every young person in this room that's graduated from high school experienced a wonderful day in their lives. How many of graduated from high school? Now, none of you yet. Let me see your hands. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Let me see your hand. You graduated from high school. All right, let's turn to Mac and Muff here. Remember Mac and Muff? Bobby and Jane? Real simple books. You don't understand where I'm going with this, do you? I want to understand in your head that graduation is the same as death. It's a departure. When we graduate from high school or grammar school or grade school or elementary school, whatever they call it today, when we graduate and go to the next class, we've moved up the line. When you graduate from high school, you've moved up the line. When you graduate from college, you've moved up the line. And it's an exciting time for you. It's not a gloomy time. Why? Because you have passed all the requirements for that previous institution of education. You've passed all the requirements. Well, you know, the only requirement to go to heaven is to be born again. The only requirement to go to heaven is to be saved. That's the requirement. And then you live a life on earth to glorify Jesus Christ and your daily work habits and your daily life and your daily experiences. And then when life is over, you graduate. We call it death, but it's graduation or departure. That word death scares us. In the Bible, it's called the last enemy, but it's the last enemy for those on earth in the sense that without Jesus, it's an enemy. But it's not an enemy to a believer. It's a friend to a believer because a believer's life and work on earth is done. It's been completed. And graduation day is a day that we go to meet the Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His name is Jesus. You know, if you're saved, you kids, if you know the Lord is your Savior, and the Sunday school teachers tell you about the Lord and they tell you about being saved, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you go to heaven when you die one day. And it's a beautiful place to know that and to understand that. Far surpasses anything that man could write, and yet we have a Bible that talks a lot about what we'll experience on graduation day. Now, our brother Tom has already done that. Brother Tom graduated Friday. I guess it was Friday, wasn't it, Mary? Friday, near midnight. It was Saturday, a little bit after the clock hit noon or midnight. So Saturday, early in the morning, he graduated. And you know, sometimes we'll look at death and we'll say, well, you know, that's a rough thing. Well, not really. Not really for the believer. Now, yes, there's always the aspect of loneliness and those left behind, but you know, that's what a church is for. That's what a family is for. I mean, Mary's family has come together and they're going to support Mary and they're going to bless Mary and they're going to be so good to Mary that she's going to wonder why God has done this, and yet at the same time, she's going to be tremendously blessed. I mean, Yvonne, her daughter and her husband, they moved up here from Las Vegas and bought a home in Helena just to be with Mom. I mean, that's a family. You know what a lot of people lack today? They don't understand the importance of a family. They don't understand the importance of a family. I'll tell you something, you'll need a family one day. You'll need a family one day. You might not need them now, but I'm telling you, it's coming a day when you're going to need them. And if you don't build a good relationship now, you'll never have it. You know, Christmas Day is very sad for a lot of people. They don't have a family. They've lost it all, either through sin or whatever. They lost it all. They don't, suicide rate is tremendous at Christmas time because people don't have that family unit. You need it. And when something like this happens, you need that family more than you ever dreamt. Mary's family is a good family, and they've all come together because of the fact that Tom was a saved Christian man. And so even though the Bible doesn't go into tremendous detail on this, we're going to go over some things this morning that day of departure holds for all of us and what it means to us to depart from here and go on to glory and be with Jesus Christ. Now, we use that phraseology so much and we become so used to it that sometimes it loses its real meaning to us. But when death comes into our family, into our home, if it be your spouse or one of your children, then it means much more to you than you ever dreamt possible. And so I'd just like to give you some things from Revelation chapter number 22 and even chapter 21 that'll help us to look at a little bit. First of all, there's in heaven, there's no night. Now, chapter 22, verse number 5 talks about there's no night in heaven. Now, let me ask you kids this question. Look up at me. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like night? You like night? It's real dark outside. You bump into stores and stones. You can't see where you're going. It's dark. Night is scary sometimes. All the boogeymen are out there at night. She hates dark. Well, you know, the Bible talks a lot about darkness, and it's never in a good light. But when light comes, it's wonderful. Jesus is called the light of the world. And the light puts out the darkness. Well, in heaven, there's no night. Why? Because Jesus Christ is there. He's there in physical person, and there's no night in heaven. We have all the time in the world in eternity to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to thank Him and express what He's done for us. So there's no night in heaven, but at the same time, there's no pain in heaven. Every one of us in this room knows what pain is. Have you ever gone to the dentist? Kids, raise your hand if you've ever gone to the dentist. Do you like the dentist? Do you like it when he takes that drill and it says open wide now and sticks that thing in there and goes, you like that? That hurts, doesn't it? I hate dentists, and I shouldn't use the word, but I don't like dentists. We used to have a dentist in the church. He's in heaven right now. I never liked dentists. I'll do all I can to escape a dentist appointment. I don't like them because they drill your teeth. And that really hurts when they drill. I just don't like that. I don't think anybody in this room likes it. But I tell you something, there's no pain in heaven. The Bible says very clearly in chapter 21 of Revelation, verse number 4, there's no pain in heaven. Every one of us has experienced pain, and when somebody goes through a hospital situation or they go through Parkinson's like Tom, all of that, why do we pray so much for our brother Tom? Why are we praying for Jim Kelly, who had his stroke last Wednesday? Why do we pray for Tom Onstad, who's been going through some problems in his physical? Why do we do that? Because all of us experience pain. None of us want to experience pain, and we don't want our brothers and sisters to go through pain. So when God put heaven together, there's no pain in heaven, no pain at all. And the Bible goes on to say that in that day, Christ will wipe away all tears. How many have we ever shed tears? How many have ever had sorrow? How many have ever experienced grief? We've all experienced grief and sorrow and tears, but there's none of that in heaven. No one will ever cry again. No one will ever be sorrowful again. No one will ever have any pain again. And it's always light in heaven in the presence of Jesus. These are the things that Tom right now is experiencing. The Bible goes on and talks about sin. There's no sin in heaven. You know, that's the biggest problem we have as mankind, is sin. The reason we can't fix anything is because of our sin. We never have the right answers. We never are able to come to an understanding of what we need to do. That's sin, but there's no sin in heaven. There is not one single sin in heaven. You know why? There's no sinners there. Now, the only sinners that are there, if we want to say they're sinners there, are sinners that have had their sins forgiven. And even those sins forgiven never follow the man to heaven. They stay right here. They're under the blood of Christ. They've been forgiven and pardoned by God. So it's a perfect paradise. It's a perfect society. Jesus Christ is there. We're there. All the saved are there. There's no sin there. There's no death, the Bible says. Now, death is a departure. There's no departure there. Once we're in heaven, we're there forever. There's no departure. Now, the only difference between the idea and the philosophy of being an angel in heaven with wings and a halo and sitting on a cloud, the only difference between that and reality is that that's a fairy tale. That's a fairy tale. That's not biblical. It's not biblical. No, I'll tell you something. First of all angels in the Bible are male. There's no female angels. There's no little girl angels, little baby angels. All angels in the Bible are male. And we're not going to be angels. Angels were created group specifically created by God to serve Him. We're men, we're humans, we're put on earth to glory in what the Lord has provided for us in the Garden of Eden. We blew that, got thrown out of that, and Jesus came to save us. He came to restore us to the relationship, the right relationship with the Father, with God Almighty. But I'll tell you something, there's no death in heaven. And so when we go to heaven, the Bible says we'll only stay there for a little bit of time until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth and reestablishes what they call the millennial reign, 1,000 years of peace and reigning of Christ on earth. And you and I are going to dwell here for 1,000 years. And then, while the devil is in the bottomless pit, he's going to be removed and comes back to earth and will make one more attempt on destroying the works of Jesus. And he's destroyed and put into the lake of fire where he'll burn forever and ever and ever. No more devil. No more sin. No more violence. No more crime. No more bloodshed. And then eternity breaks out. And Jesus Christ establishes a new heaven and a new earth, and we dwell on that new earth for eternity. Now, what it'll look like, I don't know. I don't know what it'll look like, but by faith, I trust that it's going to be there. By faith, I trust what God says in the Bible. By faith, I believe and trust what this book says when we talk about heaven. We talk about the millennium. We talk about the new heaven and a new earth. We look forward to what God has for us. And we can say, like Sheba, I didn't understand. The half was never told me. And so I say to you this morning, what an exciting day you have to look forward to. Don't get our ten pegs down too deep on this world and this society and this life. Because this is an opportunity for you and I to glorify Christ while we're here. This is only a smattering of time. If you live 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, it's a smattering of time in the bucket of time. It's a smattering. It's just it's a wink like that. It's over and done with. So use the time you have on earth to love each other. Use the time you have on earth to be good kids to mom and dad, to love your mom and dad, to honor your mom and dad. Be what God wants you to be. And trust His Word and relish in the Bible and live a Christian life. And if you're not saved, get saved. Say, well I don't want to get saved. Man, you want to miss heaven? You want to miss what the Queen of Sheba said to Solomon? The half was not told me. I can't express what heaven holds for the believer. I can't express it. Because there's no words that man has that are able to express the beauty and the glory that God has set aside for us. But by faith, I just trust the Lord. I've seen the other side. I've seen what sin can do. I've seen what violence can do. I've seen what bloodshed can do. I've seen what poverty does. I've seen what totalitarian governments do to people. I've seen all that. Heaven doesn't have any of that. Heaven doesn't have any of that thing that man brings upon each other. Heaven is devised by God. It's for you and I. And so I could go down through all of this one day. I could go through all of this morning, but I'm not going to go through it all because there's too much of it here, but I want to leave you with this poem this morning. Now, I don't like poetry. I'm not very good at it. But this is called The Snail and the Crane. You know what a crane is? Any of you kids know what a crane is? What? What's a crane? You raise your hand. Don't you know what a crane is? Well, why'd you raise your hand then? Who knows what a crane is? What is a crane? A bird. Well, there you go. So this is about the swan and the crane. He's a bird. Is that what you were going to say? Yeah, boy. You're smart. Okay. The swan and the crane. Some of you may have heard this before, but I hope you like it. It says there's an old legend of a swan and a crane. A beautiful swan alighted by the banks of the water in which a crane was waiting about seeking snails. Do you like snails? Have you ever eaten a snail? Anybody in this room ever eaten a snail? You need food stamps. For a few moments, the crane viewed the swan in stupid wonder and then inquired, "Where do you come from?" "I come from heaven," replied the swan. "And where is heaven?" asked the crane. "Heaven," said the swan, "heaven, have you never heard of heaven?" And the beautiful bird went on to describe the grandeur of the eternal city. She told of the streets of gold and the gates and the walls made of precious stones, of the river of life, pure as crystal, upon whose banks were the trees whose leaves shall be for the healing of the nations. In eloquent terms, the swan sought to describe the hosts who live in the other world called heaven, but without arousing the slightest interest on the part of the crane. Finally, the crane said, "No, of course, no, of course, heaven is not for me." He said to the swan, "Are there any snails in heaven?" And the swan said, "No, there's no snails there." "Well, definitely it's not for me," said the crane. Then said the crane, "If I continued in search along the slimy banks of the pool, you can have your heaven. I want my snails." Why do we hold, the writer says, so tightly to what we are familiar with? The things of heaven are so much superior. But we would hate to give up our snails. And then he says, "Lord, help us to desire the things of heaven." And so I thought of this little poem. I didn't remember it. And so I just typed in on Google, swan and snails. I knew those two words were, and up comes the poem. And as I reread it a couple of times, I thought, you know, sometimes that's the way life is. We're so used to the snails and so interested in the things of this world that we don't want to give them up. And I reflect on the Bible. There's nowhere in my Bible where God's asking me to give up anything for heaven. He's not asking us to give up things to go to heaven. He's just asking us to trust what His Son did on our behalf, that we can go to heaven. Now, later on, as the Holy Spirit begins to teach us things in Sunday school and church from the Word of God, there's things that God says, it'd probably be better off if you didn't have that in your life. It's going to hurt you. And we let a lot of those things go, but we don't let some of those snails go just to get into heaven. We trust the Lord, and He takes us to heaven when we die. And so let's not get too tight on these snails of life, because even though there's none of that in heaven, it's not an excuse just to say, I don't want to go to heaven. No, it's not an excuse. Heaven, the half has not been told, but by faith we just trust the good Lord that He has so much for us. When death comes your way, into your life, into your family, into your home, and maybe even to one of your children, you'll be so thankful they got saved. You'll be so thankful that their name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be so thankful that they're on the roll of glory. You'll be so thankful when that child, that spouse, that loved one is laid to rest, that you can say, oh, they're not dead. They're as alive as ever before, more than ever before. And they're in a place where the half has not been told. And one day I'll see them again. And that's Mary's hope. That's Yvonne's hope to one day see Tom. And Tom right now is in glory. Don't feel sorry for Tom. Feel sorry for those that are eating the snails all day long. Don't feel sorry for Tom. Tom's graduated. He's departed from this. And he's gone on to be with Jesus Christ. That's what we talk about. That's what we teach in Sunday school. Let's just believe it. Let's just believe it. Amen? Let's just believe it. Oh, yeah, the half's not been told. And that's the beauty of heaven. We have an excitement and a day of anticipation, a day of graduation, when we'll begin to understand what God has set aside for us. Is there one child or one adult in here that's ever graduated from anything and knew exactly what was going to happen after graduation? No. It's an anticipation. Heaven's an anticipation. Heaven is something that God holds back for us and doesn't reveal everything. He wants us to be excited. Wants us to be excited and just to trust that He's never going to do anything wrong for His people. Amen? Let's all stand this morning. Father, we thank You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the preparation that He's making for every one of us in a place called heaven. We thank You that there is a place called heaven. We thank You, Father, that You've revealed so much in the Bible to us, and we've not even scratched the hem of the garment this morning, but yet there's so much more in the book of Revelation about heaven, and there's so much more in heaven that we have never, ever understood, nor has been revealed to us. Just like the Queen of Sheba said to Solomon, the half was not told to me. Lord, by faith we trust You that You've got some great and glorious things for us on the other side. We thank You for Brother Tom. We thank You, Lord, for his friendship and all that we learned from him, his wife, his children, his family. Thank You so much for bringing him into our congregation. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless the family and be with Mary and comfort her during this time. And I know that Mary's not going to let you down. I know that she's not going to give up on you, because Tom would not want that. You would not want that. And I know she does not want that. You be with her and You bless her. And may this church be a help to her. And may we be a generous person and trust in a church congregation to her. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You so much for a place called heaven. We thank You so much that we have an anticipation beyond this life. And this life doesn't offer a whole lot. It's got some good things, But it doesn't offer what you have for us. The half has not been told. We ask you to bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing a song this morning. 209 in our hymnals. As we sing that song this morning, let's do business with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved, never been born again, never been in a church like this. Well, this is the way all churches were at one time. All churches were like this at one time. There was only one kind of a church in the Bible, only one kind that preached the book. Preached the book, sought the souls and the salvation of men, women, and children. This is what the Bible talks about. We're no different than the early church in the Bible. We're not weird people. We're not jumping off of benches and running around church houses and screaming and hollering. We're just normal people. We believe what that book says. And I'll tell you something, there'll come a day, if you die without Christ, that you'll know that that book was true, but it'll be too late. Not too late for Tom, is it, Mary? He knows it was true now more than ever before. Boy, I tell you, what a glory we have to look forward on that day of departure. Amen? Let's sing this song this morning, Brother Charles. And if you're here today and you'd like to step out and come and pray, whatever it might be, this is your time.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today.
Come on, pray for mom or dad to be saved. Come and pray for your spouse. Come and pray for those around you that aren't saved yet. Come and thank the Lord for heaven. Thank Him for what He's set aside for us. The glory be His name. Hallelujah. Sing it like you mean it this morning.
And in that well I now abide, wherever He leads, I'll go.
Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
I'll go wherever He leads me. Never led anyone astray. Say, kids, you've been very good this morning. Thank you for being good. Thank you so much. Well, Lord knows what He's doing, doesn't He? Amen. He knows what He's doing. I thank you so much for being here this morning. I would like to go into more this morning, but we'll just wait for a little bit. But I trust and pray that many of you will be able to come Friday to the memorial service for our brother, to support his wife and his daughter and his sons, and just to relish in what God has done for us, that He washed away our filthy sins, gave us a home in heaven. It'll become a reality to more of us the older we get in this church. But it's a wonderful thing to know that we have a church full of saved people that love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask you, I look around the room here this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Ed Mee to close in prayer. Shake hands with those around you, and God bless you. Discipleship class is 4:30 tonight for all those interested in going through some scripture tonight. And Brother Russ will be preaching at 6:00.